Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
Well, markets went from despairing a possible delay to a U.S.-China Phase 1 deal after the U.S. 2020 elections to sudden hope that maybe before December 15 kicks in, we might see a Phase 1 deal between the world's two largest economies. But that December 15 date is very crucial, given the fact that there might still be some tariffs that come on Chinese goods should talks or relations further deteriorate. There's still a lot of uncertainties out there in the markets, and it's also impacting forex markets in particular. To assess how this is impacting sentiment, at least among forex traders, we're joined today on Forex Fridays by Mr. Peter Chia. He's a senior FX strategist over at UOB to share his thoughts on what to expect until the year end. Peter, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome to the show. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Okay, so Peter, let's talk first about these swinging trade sentiments. And really, we've seen this play out over the course of November and even the first parts of December. Trade deal hopes were dented earlier this week when U.S. President Trump said that he might favor doing a trade deal only after next year's U.S. elections. And then now you've got these reports that say that, you know, regardless of the rhetoric, both sides might be inching closer to that Phase 1 deal. Especially for traders of the USDCNY, what sentiments, how are these conflicting and contrasting sentiments affecting the outlook for the CNY, at least for you guys out at UOB?
Yeah, hi. I think it's quite clear for the past year or so when we have the trade conflict, often we are bombarded by conflicting trade headlines, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's really bad. So even as day-to-day trade developments continues to wax and wane, but we get a sense that the broad direction is still towards a Phase 1 agreement in either December or even early 2020. So that being said, we are still of the view of a higher USD/CNY due to the structural weakness of the Chinese economy, but have recently dialed down our negative expectations of the CNY due to the recent improvement in trade talks. So in all, we are still looking at a slightly higher dollar/CNY towards 7.20 by end of next year. This is to be compared to 7.30 previously.
Here's the thing. Whenever we see that U.S. dollar CNY actually edge past 7 or even weaken towards 7.2, as we know, this is not exactly a number that the Trump administration likes. In fact, they have accused them of being currency manipulators. If the U.S. dollar CNY does weaken after a Phase 1 trade deal, could this actually complicate relations even more and then thus impact the currency pair negatively?
I think there's a possibility, but I guess as long as the currency doesn't weaken excessively, that means dollar CNY doesn't go one direction towards, say, a lot higher than 720 or so, I think both sides maybe still be okay with the currency volatility, even for the U.S. side. And of course, China can definitely argue that the weaker renminbi or the CNY is in relation to a weaker economy that is currently they're facing. So, both sides could easily argue for their points. But I think as long as the FX volatility remain contained, we should not be too concerned over the move that we are expecting, like towards from 7.08 right now to 7.20.
Okay.
A big move, even for U.S. authorities.
Interesting. I want to shift our focus now, Mr. Chia, if I may, towards safe havens. A lot of this political risk between the U.S. and China has risen, not just because of these trade relations, but also because of these bills supporting human rights in Hong Kong and Xinjiang. But focusing really on safe havens, two currencies come to mind, really, that have seen bouts of strength over this year, the Japanese yen and the Swiss franc. When you compare these two safe havens, which one might actually have some more upside, safe haven upside relative to each other next year, should some of these issues still remain unresolved?
Yeah, so if we do see a return of safe haven trade, and if we just look back to the last two instances in May and in August this year where trade tensions were escalating, and if you just look at those two periods of time for about a month or so from those months, it has been shown that safe haven demand for yen was stronger in both instances when compared to the Swiss franc. So if that repeats again, we could see more demand for yen compared to the Swiss.
Okay. We're still speaking to Mr. Peter Chia. He's a senior FX strategist over at UOB on Forex Fridays. The other currency that many are watching out for, especially in the next week, Mr. Chia, is the British pound. As we know, the UK elections are coming up on December 12th. But really, the British pound has been rather strong, or has taken some strength because of what many believe is a possible conservative win for the Conservative Party out in the UK. Is it fair to say that the upside is stronger, at least for the British pound, heading into the year end and also heading into the next year when we have to contend with some of these Brexit issues? What's the viewpoint of UOB with regards to the British pound?
Yeah, so in the fourth quarter, I think if we look at it, sterling pound have a very big run from 123 at the start of October to currently just above 131 or so. So this is a big move if you just look at it, and there's two drivers behind it. One is firstly the lower chance of a no deal Brexit, and together with a higher chance of a more smooth sailing Brexit deal. If the Conservative can win this time around. So these two factors really push the sterling pound up by almost 800 pips or so in a very short period of time. So we see that although that things are really looking that the Conservative may win, but given the fact that this is a fairly stretched move, we are a little bit more, I would say, cautiously positive on the sterling pound going forward. We think that probably 131, 132 for the immediate couple of months or so, because even if we do get a conservative majority win, the UK economy is still fairly weak, and when investors start to refocus back to the economy, other than geopolitical risk, that's where that it doesn't argue for a lot higher sterling pound. So maybe 131, 132 for now.
So basically, in a nutshell, it's short-term strength and long-term weakness, perhaps, for the pound. Is that it?
I'll say it's a longer-term uncertainty. We'll be returning back to on the economy and on the Bank of England.
Okay, fair enough. Mr. Chia, let's shift our attention now to another one of the majors down under. The Australian dollar had to deal with disappointing GDP figures from Australia earlier this week also, and news that we might be preparing ourselves for more rate cuts next year. It's also a possibility we might see negative rates down under also. How is this impacting the view, at least for the Australian dollar, against both the US dollar and the Singapore dollar, which where we've seen parity actually break down for that latter pair?
Yeah, so I mean, if you look back in the last 2 years, Australian dollar has been underperforming. It has dropped for 2 years running, 2018, 2019, against the US dollar and also the Sing dollars. But going to next year, 2020, we believe that Aussie is on a firmer ground to stage a rebound next year, because for the first time in 2 years, both domestic and external headwinds are showing signs of moderating. So if you look at domestic house prices, has started to rebound very sharply since July this year. And this is definitely benefiting from the recent aggressive rate cuts by RBA this year. So if we do see a sustained recovery in house prices, this typically leads to better consumption in the Australia economy. So this, as we probably recall, consumption has always been the weakest spot of the Australian economy. So if the housing prices does pull up consumption, I think we have at least one less worry for Australia for the next year. So combine that with external, when we look at the external headwinds of the US-China trade conflict, that's also showing signs of improvement in the last couple of months. So if that extends into next year, so internal, external, both looking okay, we are still looking at a higher Aussie, possibly towards 69 cents against the US in the first half and 70 cents against the US in the second half. So this also means that Aussie Sing could be going higher from here. So currently about 93. We do see some values because it's closer to the recession lows of, if you remember, the great financial crisis lows of 91 cents thereabouts. So it could be some bottom picking opportunities over here for the next year.
Very interesting. And finally, Mr. Chow, before I let you go, it's a fascinating conversation. Your quick outlook for the Singapore dollar heading into 2020?
Yeah, so for Sing dollars, we maintain an outlook for modestly weaker Sing dollars because both growth and inflation for the new year looks to remain fairly soft. So we are still looking at 139 for the next year. This to be compared to about 136 that we are looking right now against the dollar. So, and a key factor to look out for when it comes to the Sing dollars is definitely on the US-China trade, because Sing dollars is very correlated to movement in the CNY. So if the CNY weakens by a fair bit, the Sing typically will follow.
Okay, so the Chinese yuan is still another currency to watch, especially when it comes to the local currency's fate in the year upcoming. We'd like to thank Mr. Peter Chia, the senior FX strategist over at UOB, for joining us today on Forex Friday. Appreciate the time, and thank you so much for your insights. Good afternoon, sir.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.